Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Now we continue our conversation with Calvin Miller. Our guest is pastor, author Calvin Miller, who is a favorite of many of yours. And you'll be excited if you're not already aware that there is a book out called The Christ of Christmas, Readings for Advents, 31 Days of Devotions by Calvin Miller. And it is just a wonderful collection and nicely bound. Describe how you set up the format of this book so that there would be different elements on each day of Advent.
Well, you know what I tried to do, Dick, is I tried to look at the very prominent miracle. I guess I've always really rather agreed with Madeline Lingle that really, in the New Testament, there's only one really great miracle, and that's the Incarnation. Once you believe that, everything else is duck soup, you know, that God could actually become a man in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to focus on the passages that really look at this great miracle. Jesus coming as a baby, the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary, the conflict and consolation between Mary and Elizabeth, the liberation of Zechariah and speaking the word John, and so forth. There's so many wonderful themes. And I think that one of the things I tried to do, of course, is build toward the actual birth event on Christmas Day and then keep it going to look at what happened to Jesus until age 12. It ends on December 31 with the manifestation in the temple of Jesus at age 12.
Yeah. Within each chapter, we have you have a verse that you start with. You do a kind of an essay, a meditation on that.
Right.
Then there's an additional reading, and then there's a prayer, so that people
right.
every day have a variety of ways at getting at the theme that you've chosen for that day.
Yeah, that's right. Plus, every one of them contain a little epigram. For instance, the epigram for the reading on December the 19th says, "The heart that is small may freshly vault over things that hold vast treasures that none can ever take away."
Yeah.
That's a kind of highlighted epigram. Every day has one of those little things that I think, if all you had time to do was read that, though I time these things because Decision Radio is going to be using my readings of them through Advent, and I time each of them only take about 3.5 minutes to read out loud.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the approach that you took reminded me of my grandmother, late grandmother, who died when she was 93. She was one of those people that started reading through the Bible every year when she was 15 years old, and many times read through it twice a year.
Right.
And when she was like 70, she told me of the practice that she had during the Christmas season of taking a different character or a different aspect of Christmas and just meditating on it every day for a few minutes. And trying to look at the Christmas miracle through the perspective of that character or that event or that, and it's a wonderful practice. And yet a lot of us are not. She was a very, very imaginative person, very intellectually creative. A lot of us aren't that imaginative, and so it's useful to have somebody who kind of provides help for us. But you did it in such a way that it leaves a lot of room for us to kind of sit back and do our own thinking.
Oh yeah, I think so, and I hope people will do that. There is, along each reading, some suggested alternate scriptures that might play the mind a little further. 3.5 minutes is not much time to give each day. But if you go into the extra readings, then I think you're going to round out the Christmas season with a lot more understanding.
Well, we'll give some folks some examples. On the very first day, you start by talking about John the Baptist, who was called to bear witness to the light. Only a man named John, and yet what a wonderful reminder of our opportunities during the Christmas season.
Right, that's so true. And John to me is the most one of the most exotic characters in the New Testament. Jesus said there was none born of woman any greater. But I look at John and I think, you know, it isn't just the fact that he announced Jesus coming. He's sort of an exotic recluse. He's Elijah Rita Vivas. He's in the wilderness and hungry to see this distant cousin from Nazareth who shows up on the banks of his baptizing river. And God has laid it on John's heart. You know, when you see the Holy Spirit descending on somebody, that's the guy.
Yeah.
And I've always loved that. I've always thought, you know, if you could pick your moments to be where the Pharisees were and to hear the voice above the river, the bath kol, as Aramaic says, the loud voice that says, "This is my beloved son," I think this would have been a good moment to be present in the ministry of Christ.
Well, on the fourth day, we're also reminded of Zacharias, and you choose the theme, When Old Men Trust, which, believe me, as I get older, I begin understanding why that's such an important feature of the Christmas story, because there's Zacharias is the old man, and then you've got the rewards of waiting out on day 21 with Simeon.
Yes.
There's such a wonderful cluster of people from all different perspectives. Here's a couple of older guys that waited and trusted.
Yeah, which bears out your grandmother's doctrine, or your mother.
It was my grandmother, yeah.
Yeah, grandmother, about picking a character and looking at and thinking about him.
Yeah, absolutely. When we look at your day three, you do something with the begat passages, which is frankly when most people start dropping out in their reading through the Bible in a year. You know, it's very tough when you get in the begats, and yet there's something important in that word and in the tradition that's behind it.
Yes, so the great thing about it is just that the begats are a solid reminder that God interfaces in a major way with the human race and in one man's family, as I call it. You know, this is one man's family. It's Abraham's family, and Jesus is a part of it.
Yeah, you remind us, and I think this is a very important aspect of the Christmas message. I mean, we're so familiar now with the stories and with the angels appearing to Mary and the angels appearing to shepherds, and we've got all the bathrobes and all the other memories in there kind of tucked away. But you refer to the appearances, the visitations, as God's unnerving visitations at one point. I mean, these were really wonderful visitations, but they were a little bit disturbing.
They certainly were. I always think the angels are kind of beside the point when they say "fear not" right after they scare the wits out of people.
Exactly. Well, they have to say that next, because I mean, the poor guy's sitting there quaking away.
So true, so true. And you know, one of the nice things, it's just easier to read it out of a nice leather-bound Bible than to be out on a Judean hillside and have to think about this or face up to it.
Well, you know, one thing, I was talking with Philip Yancey last week, and we were talking about G.K. Chesterton and his great wit and the bigness of his person and his personality.
Right.
And the way he even people that disagreed with him left the occasion just enjoying it. And Philip made the comment that we're in an age of sadness in which people need a different kind of prophet, not just a prophet to tell them they're doomed, but to remind them you're not doomed yet. And one of the things that you see in December 10th is you talk about the way back to joy. I mean, Christmas is a time of joy, and I think that is such a timely message for this culture.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I experience this just almost daily in stores, but I think, God forgive me, but particularly in airports, they're busy places, and I'm sure that people who sell tickets and help you get on the plane and announce that you need to, you know, board and things like that, that they have to have a hassle life. But I've often wished I could just set them down and teach them the elementary art of smiling again. And it's just a busy, busy time, you know. And it's such a gift to try to be a human being. I just came in today on the plane. I sat down to a little girl, and she was reading and doing some algebra problems or something, which I'm not terribly good at. But nonetheless, she was little, and she began to ask me questions. Before long, I found her very, very charming. And I'm a kind of guy that always tries to be remote on airplanes because I always have plenty to do. But all of a sudden, I find myself wanting to be a human being. And I guess maybe that's the mark of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to think so.
Well, and it's the joy that God brings into our life during this season that we can participate in and spread.
Join us next time for more conversation with Calvin Miller. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.